grateful for the worship team who helps us worship in song and in energy, and we can just lose ourselves in praising God. That's what we're here for. We're here to worship God. Recognize that on the first day of the week and the first thing in the morning, we would pay attention to the very first relationship that God calls us to be in, which is our relationship to God. Glad that you have chosen to be here this morning, whether it was easy and enthusiastic to get up here or if you dragged yourself here. Any way you got here, we're glad you're here. Yes, even you. After this service, there is fellowship time. I already see some delicious and healthy snacks back there. Hope you'll take the time to linger and talk and connect with one another. Some of you are wearing name tags. That's awesome. If you're not or you need a new one, we can get you a new one because we're talking about names today. God knows your name. We want to know your name too. Couple of announcement thingies. Moment of personal privilege. I won't be here next Sunday because I'm moving. I think. Yes. And Session was gracious enough to give me next Sunday off as a time to put my house like somewhat together and then to not prep a sermon this week. So the amazing Dr. Henry Sun in the back is preaching next Sunday, and we will be back. We'll be back in action soon. So, and also the installation of me. Wow, this is a announcement of personal privilege, isn't it? Is going to be on Sunday afternoon, September 25th. So that's going to be a service where there are other ministers and elders from other congregations in the area who will be here, and a special service to officially sort of install me as the pastor here. So I hope you'll be able to come to it. There'll be a nice appetizer finger food reception, helpfully done by some pretty amazing sisters around here. So, great. Any other announcements I'm not thinking about? Nope, that looks pretty good. Great. Our scripture for today is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Those of you who have been longtime church people, you might have heard this before, the parable of the lost sheep and the woman with the lost coin. Why don't we pray together before we begin? Let us pray. God, we open your scriptures today, and we slow down to listen to you, to listen to how you would be speaking to us this week for what it is you want us to know, and therefore how it is you want us to treat others. So send your Holy Spirit to this place that we might know you more dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 15, Luke 15, 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, him being Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or that woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the one coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Here ends the reading. 9/11/2001. Those aren't just dates or a set of numbers to us anymore. It's a day that potentially changed our understanding of the world. And today, 15 years later, we remember the largest loss of life resulting from a foreign attack on American soil and the greatest single loss of rescue personnel in American history. Nearly 3,000 people died in the 9/11 events. And more than a number, each of those victims had a name.
Including that one.
She's got a name. She's hiding. You know, more people are paying attention to you now than they would have had you just stayed there. Okay, fine. Where was I? Okay. The National September 11 Memorial in New York City displays the name of every single person that they've identified who died in that attack, as well as the 1993 World Trade Center attacks. And unlike anything done before, the names on that memorial are arranged by affiliation, by connection. It would have been easier or more convenient or more traditional even to list the names alphabetically or maybe even chronologically. The Vietnam Memorial lists them chronologically. The designers of the memorial took over 1,800 requests from family and friends about their connections and were able to arrange the names on the memorial by connections. They used a powerful computer algorithm that grouped the names by affinity. Firefighters with firefighters, co-workers together, people who were on the same flight. And some of the adjacencies are particularly poignant. Two brothers, firefighter John Vianio II and police officer Joseph Vincent Vianio, both died that day. And on the memorial, John's name appears at the end of his unit, and then next to it, Joseph's name begins with the name of his unit following. The two brothers' names, therefore, are forever linked. In another case, all the members of a family with mismatched last names were able to be placed together, including the youngest victim, Christine Hansen, aged 2.5. And there's even an app for this. You can use an app on your smartphone or tablet computer, or there are electric kiosks there, one to help find a name of a person, but also other biographical information and what those affinities and connections are to the names and people around them. It's one of the things that makes this memorial really distinctive. It's the connections. They were interviewing the designer about this. It's the connections in our lives that matter the most. The connections. And these names inscribed in bronze are the heart of the experience of being at the memorial. The names take this enormous tragedy and bring it to such an intensely personal and individual level where each one is remembered. No one is lost. No one unaccounted for. That's love. And God's love is like that too. We are known to God as individuals. We are loved individually and intensely personally. Yes, Jesus came to offer salvation to the world, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, And sometimes we can look at that and say, yes, there's salvation for the whole world. But the parable of the lost sheep is our reminder that even the same God who sent Jesus to love the whole world also came for you. Even with 100 sheep in his care, the shepherd is aware of each and every one and does not allow a single one to go astray or to be unaccounted for. God knows each one of you in this room, and God knows your name. A friend of mine from many years ago described her realization of God's personal love like this. I always knew that Jesus loved me. His love was like a huge warm blanket that covered the world. But it was one day that I finally realized, oh, I've been given my own blanket to wrap around my shoulders, to hide inside, and to keep. Laura Davis knew that Jesus was not just the Savior of the world, but her personal Lord and Savior. That's the kind of love that's transformational, both when we receive it and when we share it. It's that kind of personal love, person to person, takes practice and intentionality. I'm preaching to myself here, but often it is simpler and more convenient to speed through my days with a general goodwill for humanity. But that personal, individual love requires me to slow down, to recognize the person who is in front of me is a complex bundle of joys and hopes, scars and sufferings. That word compassion means to suffer with. A Presbyterian pastor I was mentored by in the early 2000s was serving in New York City. And she relayed how she saw such a change in that city after 9/11. The fast-walking, fast-talking New Yorkers slowed down. They took the time to extend sympathy and care, were able to see the people around them as precious human beings. People were gentle with one another, with that sense of compassion, knowing the person that they were talking with had been suffering recently. She sensed God in that increased sense of the commonness of our human experience, and a deeper sense of community. For indeed, we are already interconnected. We cross paths with hundreds of individuals each and every day. The connections are already there. There's coworkers. There's the man who walks his dog by your front window every morning at about the same time. Perhaps the barista who pulls your triple shot non-fat latte. Maybe there's somebody at a community center who you always see playing cards. Or the person who's the front right to you in exercise class. Do you know his or her name? Do you know his or her story? Does that person know your name? I've been outside on some of the Wednesdays at 1:30 when pickup is happening at Stephen Manor, trying to learn names, meet people. It's easy to learn and name the people who have big, important positions. So Diana Matlock is the principal. I got introduced to her very early. But I've also met the crossing guard. Her name's Kelly. She has 3 kids. And her youngest is finally in fifth grade. She said, I've been at the school for a long time. This might be my last year. And I share my name and let them know me as well. It's part of loving your neighbor as yourself and treating others the way you would want to be treated. No one wants to be treated like they're one more number or one more cog or one more of a hey you group of people. All of us are so desperate to be seen and heard and valued and loved and known by name. So this is 9 o'clock service. I hear you all like to talk and you guys are a little more flexible on things. This is what I keep hearing for you all. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to maybe turn around and talk to somebody who didn't come in the same car that you're in or perhaps does not share your same last name, right? And go ahead and talk about maybe somebody that you've noticed in your interconnected of life that you're curious about. Maybe you do know their name, maybe you just know their first name, maybe you're like me, you know their dog's name, but you've forgotten their name. Talk about some of those connections of people that you have seen and slowed down and noticed. So go ahead and take a few minutes, talk to each other. People you know. Okay, I'm going to invite us to regather. I know you're curious about what my name.
Curious about you.
Me. Okay, I'm going to invite us to regather. I heard that you all love to talk, but I. Yeah. Right. Would love to just hear a little bit about people you're noticing you're interconnected with. Anybody want to share a little bit about what was going on in their conversations? People you're interconnected with. Yeah.
I mentioned a gentleman that I see every day when I walk from work to the bar station. He's always standing on the corner by the bar station and he has a newspaper. So one day I stopped and talked to him and then he started telling me about the newspaper. I was looking in it. And it turned out he's a volunteer for People's Rights Group. So now I chat with him. Every time the newspaper changes, I ask him, you know, what's good in it.
Okay. Not yet. Yeah. Yeah. Part of your community. What other interconnections did you notice? Yeah. So there's a connection right here. Yeah. Right. It's kind of nice to feel connected, right? And now you know something about, you know, each other you didn't know before. Even if you've been sitting in worship in here multiple Sundays, right? Sitting in the same room or worshiping the same God, but a little more connection. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a connection with my mailman.
Yes.
And he's great. Anytime he's delivering the mail, if I'm out there, we always have a conversation.
Yeah. Well, he gets to see your name on the mail.
But I actually asked him to pray for us.
Yeah.
I said, do you pray? Because of what Bob is venturing, we're venturing together. Mm-hmm. And I think he nodded. Yeah, so I said, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so the mail carrier, right? I mean, somebody who's coming, 6 days a week? Well, 5 days a week, you know. Yeah. One more interconnection you noticed. Yeah.
Neighbors that I don't know. That, you know, it's like I see them all the time and I don't know their names and I don't know anything about their story.
Yeah.
How to go about changing that.
Yeah. Your next door neighbors, right? There's less neighborliness now than there was a couple decades ago. Right? New people can move in right across the street and they don't walk over with the proverbial cup of sugar or right? It's a little different. Jesus asks us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Maybe we don't need to look that far to find some neighbors to love. I invite you this week, perhaps to learn one new name. Perhaps to find out the name of the man with the newspapers. I'm learning names of crossing guards, and then, you know, we're moving next weekend. to take the intentionality to slow down, right? To see the person. Maybe they're fulfilling a really mundane job. They're still a person. They're still loved by God, and they still need to be known, that they as an individual are loved, valued, important. That's the love God shares with us. That's the love we can share with our neighbors. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.